everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the gymnast head.
Gymnast head. I get it. We'll do the joke. Now we'll do the setup for the joke. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobbies, share our thoughts with you, and even play some games sometimes. What are we talking about today?
Well, I don't know why I did an accent.
Yeah,
that wasn't part of the joke.
Well, it's because we're watching a movie.
That's true. We are talking about sticking the landing.
Ooh.
Tips and tricks about sticking the landing. Right? So you're coming in for the landing. You better stick it. But you boofed it. Sticking the landing is quite hard.
Yeah. To clarify, what we mean by that is ending a...
Yes.
Ending a TTRPG experience, be it a one-shot, an adventure, a big campaign. We're not going to make a ton of distinction between what size, scale, pen and paper thing you're doing, but we are talking about how you do the ending.
Well, I mean, we could just do a quick distinction here. So, like, a one-shot, pretty self-explanatory. We talked about one-shots before. Story starts and ends in a single session.
Yeah.
Right? An adventure is multiple sessions of no... Doesn't have to be...
There's not exactly a set length for that.
Doesn't have to be 3, doesn't have to be 10, whatever.
Yeah.
And a campaign is multiple adventures
strung together over, you know, and may or may not be super related. I don't know.
Yes. Okay. What are we going to be... Or how are we going to be talking about sticking the landing, i.e. endings?
All right. So first, we're going to be acknowledging that it's a tough thing. What about it makes it tough? We're going to talk about some different types of endings. We're going to talk about inspiration from other forms of media, specifically regarding the endings of things and how it might be useful. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of our personal experience, and that's, I think, where most of our advice is going to come from after we kind of get a lot of things set on the table and explained and hashed out. Then we're going to talk about our experience, which is where probably our tips and tricks are going to mostly be.
Yes. Shout out to our patron, Ninetoes, for bringing this topic up on the Discord. We hear you and are responding.
Yeah. And little plug, we'll do it early here. We'll do it again later. But if you want to talk about stuff with us or suggest an episode idea for us to get into, get at us on Patreon, join the Discord, and throw it out there.
We listen.
Yeah, and we'll do it. We'll do whatever you want.
We'll pretty much do whatever you want. Like, I was going to be like, well, if it's reasonable, but no.
No, we'll do it. We'll probably do it.
We'll probably suck feet for money if that's what you want. okay, so the tough things, landings and endings, right? You're doing a triple aerial jackknife.
Yeah.
How are you going to stick that landing? Same thing.
When they teach you to fly a plane, the landing that comes last because it's hard and they don't let you do it at first. Right. They'll let you fly the plane. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
A professional will land the plane the first couple of times before they, you know, let you.
So if you think of the plane as, or the plane ride as the story, the landing is the ending.
Yeah.
Is where I was going with that. Same with the trick. You do an amazing trick, that's the story. How do you end it? Mm-hmm. How do you land that trick?
On a skateboard or in gymnastics, those are the only two kinds of tricks.
Yep. Moving on. Okay. All right.
So it's a tough thing.
They're important, why? Right? They're important because we want them to be satisfying.
Yeah.
Nobody wants an unsatisfying ending.
Right.
That's a weird kink to have
I guess you could... Satisfaction takes all kinds of different forms,
right.
But like a bad ending, think about like if you've ever seen, you know, a review for a movie or like a book or something, a bad ending, failure to, you know, wrap it up, failure to tie things together or to, like, properly set up what's coming next or whatever, endings, especially since it's, like, the last thing that you, you know, read or listen to or watch in a piece of media, that could be, the, like, the main part of the review. Mm-hmm. Like, this didn't do it for me because of the ending, because that's the most recent thing that happened to you, and now you're going to write a bad review about it. It was, you know.
Which, a bad ending to some could be a good ending to the other, or satisfying ending to the others, right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about, like, oh, everybody lived happily ever after.
Right, right, right.
We're talking about satisfaction, which is extremely subjective.
Yes.
So, we think one of the keys to a satisfying ending is enough questions have to be answered.
Yeah.
Like, questions come up throughout the story, like, does this person survive?
Yeah. Threads of plot need to be resolved, and too many things left loose or unresolved, or like, hey, where'd this guy go? We haven't seen him for a while. And you end a campaign, and like, hey, what happened to
this important figure?
Yeah.
Right?
No answer to that. Well, it's tough to nail an ending because you gotta hit enough of those points to, you know, to create that satisfaction, to make it feel like an ending that has any sort of value. That's so, you know, it's hard.
Which is why one shots are probably the easiest out of the role playing sessions we talked about to end, right? Because they are contained. It's in the single session. So there's less time for large questions to come up. It's easier to tie everything together in one shot.
It's usually just about what is happening to us right now. We use one shots a lot for horror. Mm-hmm. We do horror one shots, not just for Halloween, but for other stuff. It's great for a one shot, especially since it's an acceptable ending in that situation for almost everyone to die.
Yeah.
And that is an answer of sorts, and there is some satisfaction in how you go out in something like that, but
more on that later.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about why this is a tough thing to do. Things like that get harder and harder the longer you go, the more investment you have in what's going on, and the more things that you've come into contact with, the more things you're interacting
juggling
with. So yeah, endings, another reason endings are tricky. They're tough.
Another component of a satisfying ending is it needs to fit the tone of the story. Otherwise, it just kind of seems jarring and, like, out of place. I feel like, right?
Right. Tonal, and you might, like, I don't know, you might be inclined to joke in the ending or to, like, you know, be super serious in the ending, and all your gameplay up to this point was, you know, very fun and humorous and lighthearted, and now suddenly, you know, just a tonal match, pretty important,
right? And so, like, the jarring factor of an ending, which, and this is like a special thing for tabletop role-playing games, is you kind of just have to switch into that mode of its ending, which this brings us to the first thing we're putting on the board. Leave enough time for the ending.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if you're, whether it be a one-shot, an adventure, or a whole nine-year wink campaign, leave enough time. You don't want to, like, oh, you guys get together every, let's just say, Thursday night from, like, 7 to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You don't want to try to wrap it up at 9:50.
Yeah.
Right? Because all that's going to do is like, yep, today's the last session. Oh, we played through this whole thing, brought some new questions onto the board, and I have to wrap this whole fucker up in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That's going to be so jarring. And then, like, then you have, like, oh, well, we'll pick this up next time. Well, you didn't end it.
Yeah.
And now it's just continuing. Or you're just like, yep, that's it. Yeah. Done. We never get to talk about it again. And then it's like, what the fuck?
And
so,
also, however you do, so yeah, that on the board, give yourself enough time. That's part of why it's tough. You need to leave yourself enough time, which means you need to know what's happening to a certain degree going into it, and that's tough to do. We've all, you know, experienced discrepancies between what we prepped and planned and, you know, how it actually went down on the table.
Yeah. And more on this later, of course, right?
And then the last sort of, you know, thing that can make an ending tough to deal with and tough to execute well is, you know, another aspect of its jarring nature is you're switching from gameplay to some sort of, you know, narrative conclusion, whether that be something that the game master delivers in a monologue, or maybe you ask, you know, your players, yeah, okay, so where do you go from here? And that's, you know, that's curtains on your character for mm-hmm. for the play, whatever. You're switching out of gameplay to a sort of different mode of media, and that's okay. So I ended it by not playing. Somehow it's a weird thing when you suddenly switch out of gameplay to now this is the end.
The final narration.
How do you describe it? How do you narrate it? Shit like that.
So hopefully we will have some good things on the board by the end of this episode mm-hmm. to help ease that jarring transition. But before we can actually start putting things on the board, let's just ponder some types of endings, right?
I love pondering. I love sitting and pondering.
So, endings come in all types. Mm. We wrote down a couple. These are, by all means, not everything, right?
These are, so we're going to talk about, you know, examples.
These are like categories,
fiction,
right?
But these are categories, and we are trying to focus as much as we can on things that are interactive gameplay.
Mm-hmm. So.
Sorry, but not all our examples are that. We'll, mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. So, an ending, there could be the binary ending, right? Mm-hmm. The good or bad ending. You get this a lot in, like, video games, right?
Single-player.
Role-playing, you know, video games. Yeah. So, like, the success or failure is due to actions of the player or, you know, in this case, the party of players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they succeeded in the final thing, right? Example, Lord of the Rings, right? This whole book series has been leading up to the final confrontation with Sauron.
Where, you know, the armies of Rohan and Gondor, they're in a big battle, final battle, that's a diversion, and, you know, Sam and Frodo are like, you gotta make it there, you gotta make it to the fucking finish line and actually throw the ring into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Everything up until that point is build up, preparation. In expectation of these final moments where it's either going to succeed or fail. And everything is on the line as far as, like, the future of this game world or fictional world. You succeed, you save the world, you fail. Bad.
I mean, the story technically would continue, but it would just be a
bad
hill.
But it's over for you guys.
Right. So, like, imagine if you're playing in a tabletop role-playing game, you know, the Lord of the Rings story, right? You've done all this stuff. You've, like, gathered allies.
Mm-hmm.
You have a plan.
You have your magic items.
Yeah. It all comes down to, does the ring go into the fire or not?
Right.
If it doesn't go into the fire, it's still the end of the campaign or adventure.
That's still an ending. You just lose.
Yeah.
And that can be dramatic, and there can be some satisfaction in that. But, you know, it would probably... I think it'd be tough to pull off if you were playing a multiple, you know, a years-long campaign, ongoing multiple adventures strung together, all in the pursuit of this end.
Mm-hmm.
And the end was you failed. I think that's very interesting.
Mm.
And it would probably be really tense and exciting at the table.
Mm.
But, you know, when that final buzzer hits and, like, you don't make it, tough.
It's tough. We have a workaround for that coming up in a couple bits.
Yeah.
So that's one type of ending that is satisfactory. I believe it hits the points of being a satisfactory ending.
Mm-hmm.
You succeed or fail.
Yeah.
Boom.
And there would probably be enough, like, lead up and, you know, signposting in your gameplay for them to know when it's final confrontation time.
Mm-hmm. So I think this could go on the board for good or bad endings, knowing when you can have that binary choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the binary choice is more suited for one-shots, for sure.
Mm.
Right? Because that's a great ending for a one-shot. We've discussed this in our previous episodes about one-shots, is they can fail.
Yeah.
The party can fail.
Failure is kind of a kick-ass way for a one-shot to end, because you get to experience it without there being like a ton of letdown or a feeling of like lost investment.
Like, we spent like 3 months doing this and we failed. One-shots don't have that.
Right.
Right. I think adventures can also have an ends that can fail. Right? Because there could always be another adventure. Campaigns, though, I'm not sure campaigns are suited for this type of ending.
It's a scary idea.
Because the players can define their own success. Like, in a long campaign, you have so many, like, paths, and we're talking about branching paths in a second, but, like, the players have made all these relationships through their, like, years of gameplay or, you know, in-game time, right? Maybe it's taken years. Just because they defeated or they lost to Sauron, right? They didn't get the ring in. Frodo kept the ring. Well, they're going to go as far away and, like, they're going to hide in a little corner of, like, the Shire, and they're going to live out the rest of their life in semi-happiness, but, like, the rest of the world's going to suck.
Yeah.
But, like, they still can have happiness, right?
Quotes. So I think in a pen and paper game, it would probably look a little bit different. Instead of, you know, a big battle off to the side to draw the eye away, and one or two party members trying to
sneak into
the dungeon and break the final item, it would probably look something more like a, you know, confrontation with the bad guy in his castle.
Sure.
But regardless, I think you're right as far as that goes. So
keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's the good, bad, binary sort of success, fail type of ending. Another type of ending.
So the various outcomes, right? So like the brushing on, oh, we failed to pop the ring in the fire, but we still get some success somewhere else, right? That's like the various outcomes, the branching paths that we find common in some really good video games.
Yeah. Like the better Fallout games, the Mass Effect trilogy, you know, had this, people feel differently, especially about, you know, which ending. There's a type of ending where, you know, you do all this stuff and you try and do the final thing, and then based on some significant choices in the final moments, or maybe, you know, which version of the final quest you choose to go on in the case of like a Fallout, like which faction you side with type of thing, there are multiple different possible endings that represent like what is the final state of the game world after you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ending that you're going for. It's like, what does the world look like if I choose this path?
Right. And so like these are not binary. Like these endings probably come with a mixed bag of good and bad stuff.
Because you might want, you know, a certain ending. You want victory for one faction over the other.
Good being, you know, subjective and from the perspective of like the player, right?
But, yeah, so you commit to one faction, you see their main quest all the way through to the end that probably locks you out of certain other factions. Mm-hmm. Maybe it even requires you to destroy other factions. Maybe that also is bad for some of your companions, some of your party members, something like that.
And or, like, some NPCs that you kind of, had a good relationship with.
But I did it this way, so they're not actually going to make it. There is, you know, there is multiple versions of success with, you know, like mixed degree of success. Mm-hmm. And based on, you know, what the party or the player party, whatever, chooses to go with when they're done, the world looks different in one of a number of ways.
Yeah. Right. So it's tricky because, like, what exactly is the end here? Like, there's not one ending, right? There's multiple endings, multiple possibilities. So this one's definitely tricky. I would say this one's more tricky for a one shot.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's just not that time in a one shot to build.
Yeah, there's not time to build out the world, the characters necessary to show the consequences of various choices, different paths you might have taken. And it's also tricky because this sort of ending could almost always be the start of just the next adventure. You're like, oh, I changed the world in such and such a way. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do we do in What's this next? World? It, right. Like, we've affected the world in this way. Let's continue to adventure it. Like, where do you draw that line of, you know, this is the end? We're going to talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem with structuring your campaign so it ends this way.
Yeah. Well, and I think...
Like, it's hard to see the finish line. It's hard to know what it is.
I think it would be the opposite there. Yes, it's hard to know where it is, but what you said is... I forgot exactly what you... Anyway, my point is... Sorry. For, like, a campaign, I think this is a great style of ending to use... Because you can, if you had like some notes, right? Always good to, you know, take some notes of like things that your characters did a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
right? That like, oh, the story has just moved on from that, but you can go back and pick those moments out. Yeah,
I wasn't saying like, this was a less good way to structure your campaign's ending.
What you said that made me think this was like, not knowing like how it's going to like fully play out, but I think you can know how it fully plays out because you can pick and like you don't have to explain every little thing, every little choice your players made, but just like grab a couple moments that were like hopefully memorable for your players, because in that way when you like do your wrap up, when you do your narrative and like bring that thing back that happened months ago or years ago, your players are like, I kind of remember that. I had forgotten about it. That's cool that's how that ended. Or like, man, I guess we shouldn't have like, you know, fucked with that guy because I don't like that happened. But yeah. I can't change it now because it's over. But just like, you know, it makes them, it shows your players the impact. And we're...
Yeah.
That's another thing that's on the board, and we'll talk about that more later.
It's a type of ending, what it essentially is designed to do, or what you would attempt to do if you structured your ending this way with a couple of different branching, end states. You're trying to show the consequences of their actions to your players. Mm-hmm. And not just the consequences of their choices in the final battle, but like... The world looks this way because of things you did the whole time.
Yes. That's what I thought you might have said. And I know that sentence meant nothing. But you don't have to plan this out from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
You can just let it go freeform. And then if you've taken some notes, you can just pull a couple moments and do game master magic and be like, yeah, at the time, that's all it was. That moment where like, you gave some guy, a beggar, some bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was at that time. But now that we're at the ending here, you know what? That beggar actually is like a king of a far-off principality who comes to your aid in the end,
mm-hmm.
right? And like, I didn't plan that. I hadn't written that down.
But they set it up for you, so you know you have an opportunity to bring it back and
yes.
use it.
Yes. So you don't... For various outcomes, you don't have to have them all mapped out like a Mass Effect video game.
Yeah.
You can come up with them on the fly.
Right. Yeah. We're not advocating that you prep your, you know, these are the six possible different endings. And based on final decisions at the very end of the line, you're going to slot into one of these.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that just like, you know, you choose to end at a certain point, and based on where you end it and based on everything they did up until that point, look at the way the world looks different now.
Yes. Exactly. But all that stuff about, you know, like, is it really the end? Oh, the world's changed, but, like, we're still alive and all this stuff, right? You know, so is it really an ending, right, is the question.
Yeah, which leads us into this other type.
Leads us into another type of ending, which is called the non-ending, right? Funny. It is still an ending, though, right? But it is the story's not 100% done, right? The life goes on, right? If nobody... If all the characters didn't die, they still live.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't get to see that, right? Like,
right.
You know, it's not quite a cliffhanger because, like, we know that they defeated the big bad.
Yeah. And but a cliffhanger usually means that, like, yeah. another episode is coming next mm-hmm. week. You're going to see the resolution of this scene
next
in
time.
The next one.
Right.
And then we'll get into more problems.
So it's not that. Like, we solved the big problem. Mm-hmm. That we were after to, that we were trying to solve, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just the and they live happily ever after either.
Right.
Right. It's kind of in between
just like,
that.
Yeah. You know, the world continues. Mm-hmm. The thing is over. The world continues. Your example, I think, was the best one, and I think we should just
go into it.
Do it. So the ending of the original Halo trilogy. You blow up one final Halo, and you jump your Warthog. And you make it to the spaceship, and then the spaceship gets cut in half by the slipspace gate, and you're just, you know, you won,
mm.
but you're adrift in space, and you go into cryosleep. Wake me if you need me.
And the Chief says, wake me if you need me, right? Chief is still alive. Cortana is still alive.
The world still is going on.
Back on Earth, the Arbiter is, you know, leading the like, war over tribute, you mm-hmm. know, peace treaty. Here's the monument to all the fallen soldiers. The yeah. Chief is on there.
And you, the player, you won. Mm-hmm. Like, it's over. The war with the Covenant, I mean, notwithstanding what happens in later games.
Yeah.
But the war with the Covenant is over. The threat posed by the Halo rings is neutralized. And it's ended. But you're still there in a way where just like, I don't know. Something probably happens in the future, but mm. going so to sleep in cryo is a really great version of that ending, because then like anything could happen.
Right, what you just said, probably something else happens. That's yeah. the key, right? Put this on the board. For the non-ending type of ending, it is really easy for it to lead to like a bad sequel.
Yeah.
Right?
This is where like, oh, but the studio decides... you're going to get another one of whatever this movie series is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they cherry pick something kind of, you know, insignificant, unsubstantial from the movie and be like, oh, this guy who like fell off of the thing, actually he found a thing and now he's this guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just for the sake of making another one, they convolute more out of this. Mm-hmm. And that's what you risk with this sort of ending is, you know, setting up something bad.
So you focus on the probably something else happens.
Yeah.
But we're not getting into it.
We're not going there.
Right? Leave it at the probably. Mm-hmm. Right. Another great example of this is the end to the Mass Effect or the Shepard trilogy mm-hmm. of Mass Effect, right? In Fallout. In Mass Effect 3, right, they have the various outcomes mm-hmm. style of ending, right?
And I think at least one of them, Shepard dies.
In a
right?
lot of them, he dies.
Okay.
So,
I think he died in the one I picked. I picked the integration one, but I can't remember
so
all
the
other
only
things
one,
that happened.
And all of those are non-endings, right? Life goes yeah. on and does a little wrap-up. But the one I'm focusing on is if Shepard and, like, I had to look it up to get this ending. It's very, it's like, you know, secret, air quotes, secret ending. You have to do a lot of stuff, like... you know, specifically check these boxes, and then at the very ends when you're at the like the Reaper station, you don't make a choice. You sit there
so
until
I tried
time
that
runs
one
out.
And everyone just died.
Right.
But I
which is
you
why
know,
you
I
had
didn't
to check
the,
all these boxes.
I didn't have all the other stuff prepped. Yeah.
So in that one, it blows up. Shepard does technically die and like everyone's sad about it. But at the end of the epilogue, like Shepard's hand comes out of the wreckage.
Yeah.
Or the record shifts, I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the example. Like, the crawling out of the wreckage. So, like, everything blows up. There's a chance they survived. We don't know. We don't know for sure. But there's a chance, right? The like, you know, crawling out of the wreckage, looking over their shoulder at the end, or like riding off into the sunset after the adventure, right?
Like Chief and his ice cube.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. And so, yeah, there's a lot of cool things about that, but what only works is if the main thing is
it's
concluded,
over. Yeah.
Right? You have to beat the Covenant. And then you're like, oh, fuck yeah, we beat the Covenant. All right, I'm going to sleep in my cryopod. Mm-hmm. Wake me in 1,000 years. Wake me in 5 years, whatever, you know.
Right? So, like, yeah.
And the best version of that story would have been if it, you know, ended then instead of continuing on into more games. They could have been more Halo games. They just didn't have to be about Chief.
Right. So I think the key to achieving that full ending, even though the story is done, but the characters go on, is the conclusion of the big thing, and then there's probably some boredom coming.
Yeah.
Right? Some stuff that, like, wouldn't be in the novel. Right? Like, they ride off into the sunset towards the next town. They probably get a hotel and they spend a couple nights resting after they fought the big monster.
Yeah. It's not an interesting... It would be a bad movie, a bad novel to narrate, you know,
the
4 years of Chief
asleep. Yeah, the next 4 years,
In his cryopod. That's a put on the board, I think. If you're going to try to pull off this sort of ending, then, yeah. What comes next is not adventure. It's not gameplay.
It needs to be boring for a while.
Yeah.
Not to say that there might not be something there might not be something exciting later, much later. Mm-hmm. But for now, peace.
Yeah. For now, peace. It's over. And in that, you know, you get a sort of ending and a good stopping point. Like, I don't want to play anymore because I satisfactorily completed the main thing.
Right.
To continue to play wouldn't be good gameplay.
Right. I might as well start a new thing, and that's going
to
be
a point later.
All right. So those are the types of endings we wanted to talk about. Mm. Now let's talk about inspiration. Getting inspiration.
So,
and, like, how do you pull these off?
You know, as stated, the better role-playing video games, the ones that, you know, spanned hundreds of hours, possibly multiple entries, tons of player choice, meaningful impact of that choice, and a lot of different versions of, you know, what the game world looks like when you're done. When you make your final decisions and you commit to one path over another, what does it look like? That's pretty cool. One I really, really like is the finale for the main show of Adventure Time.
Oh, so good.
Like, and there's been spin-off miniseries, which have also been very good.
Boy, did they fucking stick that landing.
And some pretty incredible stuff. It could have been just the end of a season, and we could have had another season after that, because the way it ends changes the world the way Adventure Time would sometimes change the world. But then it would kind of go back to, like, well, we can rely on these dynamics being fairly stable.
Mm-hmm.
So we can change things about the world, but continue to have adventures in it in the same way. So they could have done that. But instead, you know, they couched it as just the last thing they were going to do. And they were pretty upfront about the idea that when it was over, not everyone died. And everyone who lived went on to do other stuff and lived their lives affected by what happened, but also just continued to go.
A perfect example of the non-ending. And why it works so well as a non-ending is because the finale was set up where it started way in the future, right? And so, like, you know that the world goes on. It doesn't end.
Yeah.
But you know some bad shit went down.
And it's different now.
Mm-hmm. So you have that time dilation of, here's what the world looks like way after the fact.
Yeah.
And then we get to live, we get to see actually how that story, Adventure Time, the story ended. And you know it ended because, like, is it, it's been out for a long time. Spoiler,
we can talk about it. Yeah,
like BMO is still alive and he's telling the story.
Right,
right. But they find Finn's arm.
Yeah,
Finn is not mentioned.
Finn's not there, obviously, because we're so far in the future. Mm-hmm.
So we know that the most exciting bits of like Finn's life have ended, right? When the final credits roll of the finale, you're like, well, personally, I was like fucking blown away. I'm like, yeah, God damn.
It's rough.
Holy crap. Right? And we know that it's not over because also then, you know, the HBO miniseries episodes, right?
We got to see grown up Finn a couple of times.
Perfect example of the non-ending where it was an ending and they skipped a lot of boring shit. And then, like, then we popped in for one shot.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was a great thing when you see adult Finn in that episode of the Fiona and Cake series. Adult Finn is like, Simon, why are you so sad? I know it'll cheer you up. Let's go on an adventure. And you see that Finn is still doing the exact same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, well, like, okay, I would watch 20 years of Finn doing this, but also I wouldn't. There's a reason they ended it there. Mm-hmm. If Finn is going to continue to do the same thing and he's found his groove and also become, you know, emotionally stable, then we don't need more episodes of him just having random little adventures around Ooh, because we know that's what he's doing.
Ooh, I think that's another thing to put on the board is having that not all questions have to be answered. Most of them do.
Yeah.
So I guess it's going back to the thing we put on the board the first time. Enough questions have to be answered. Mm. Not all of them. It leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
But not dying for more.
Leave not necessarily not like wanting a cliffhanger more, but like more. leave enough blank space that you can fill it in your imagination.
Mind,
you know,
in your mind palace.
The way you know, the way like you know Skyrim and Fallout games, they kind of tacitly ask you to do a ton of the gameplay in your own head. In terms of, you know, like, who is my character? What do they believe? Mm-hmm. How do they feel about this? Those aren't gameplay inputs until you actually, like, choose a choice.
Yeah.
But you're doing a bunch of it in your own head. An ending that sets up space for that.
Like, yeah.
I can imagine, based on, you know, the good wrap-up or whatever, how the world continued beyond this. And that is satisfying to imagine because it's informed by stuff that did definitely happen.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, a tool that you might use is what we... I think that's what it's called, right? The Animal House wrap-up?
Okay, So, yeah, I think so. The style, and I'm pretty sure it's Animal House, at least the first, like, you know, popular... Where it became a goofy trope to steal from is done in Animal House when, you know, there's a fun, you know, musical montage at the end, like a cool song plays and everyone's having fun and it's the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then like you freeze frame on a character with a little bit of text like so-and-so went on to do whatever. I never saw Animal House, but I remember like Futurama doing that bit in the Mars University one, and from other shows and other movies. Community did a great one. There's a lot of, if you're doing a riff on that sort of like film wrap up, there's a lot of comedy that you can work into those little epilogues.
Mm-hmm.
You can write very dumb stuff in there and pass it off as like, this is the, you know, this is the series wrap on this character. Like in the Community one, Britta gets an iPod Nano like 2 years from now and that's it. It tell anything else significant about her future or any cool things that she did. Just one day she got an iPod.
Right. But so in the role playing space, that style of wrap up can be used to as a prompt for the mind canon. Like for example, your Castraticon one that you did that ended, and you know, I was super satisfied with that ending. Also, I mean, it also it had a lot of Halo DNA.
There was a lot of Halo
at the end
stuff.
There, we were doing a last ride in our fucking Jeep. Yeah. You know, everything's exploding around us,
getting shot at all over the place, and
you know, so cool. But
it came together.
At the end of it, you know, the wrap up of like, yes, you survived, and then like, you know, what's next, right? So giving that like, this is what they're gonna go do next, but not. We don't have to get into the detail of it. We don't need to role play that.
We probably are never going to play a direct continuation of that. But, like, here's a guy offering you, hey, you can come down with me.
Yeah.
On this path is going to keep going in a different direction.
And it's like, now I'm just thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to do this. And, like, you know, my character probably does this. No need to play it because, like, we just finished a thing. I'm satisfied. But I'm also looking forward to thinking about it again and again and again.
Right. Instead of, I guess, okay, so this is a thing maybe, if I can work through the wording of it to put on the board. Instead of dropping a curtain on the thing and turning the lights on and being like, it's over. Almost, I don't know. And like the intro, fuck. It's almost like those stupid post-credits things in a Marvel movie. Except it's not, you know, it's not someone who had nothing to do with that story. And being like, oh, come back for the next movie because it's bleep blop. Fuck. Yeah, I don't have the right wording to put this on the board.
I might be picking up what you're putting down. So, curtains drop.
Yeah.
But instead of the lights coming on and it's over, a spotlight comes on, and one of the characters each get their turn coming out 20 years later. Like, you know, they change their costume, and like you see
how different they are. 20 years later, but just like which door do they exit through, you know?
Okay, I mean, that's fair. I was thinking more like you can see a possible future.
Yeah.
Right?
So they're gonna... It's over, and each character is leaving in one way or another, and as they open the door to leave, you get a glimpse through the door.
That's what it is.
Like, oh, what's that over there? And then it does close.
That's what we put on the door.
Yeah.
Or the board. We put on the board... You get a glimpse through the door they leave by.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Any other inspiration?
Other inspirations. Terrific endings or bad endings. We could talk briefly about a bad ending in the Game of Thrones TV show.
I also thought this.
A ton of just like loose threads left on the table, no resolution, and then like the showrunners and writers being like, yeah, well, we kind of forgot about that a couple seasons ago, or we weren't sure what to do with that, so we just ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, trying to pass it off like a character in the show forgot about it, and so that's why they didn't talk about it. Well, like, you can't blame a narrative shortcoming on a character in your own story. They're like, oh, well, she forgot about it, so we didn't bother to write it. No, man, that's the same as you forgetting and you failing to stick the landing, which is what we're talking about.
I don't have a specific example, but also, like, when a show gets canceled and, like, tries to, like, do a quick ending.
Yeah.
I don't have a specific example, but I Firefly.
Firefly is...
There's one.
Well, it's an okay example. They got a movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think that movie did any sort of ending. That was more like the non-ending.
I also heard something that Josh Whedon was like, I thought there was going to be more after the movie, and if I knew the movie was going to be the end of it, I would have done it differently.
I'd buy that. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, surrounding the cancellation of that, which it probably just shouldn't have been canceled. They should have gotten at least one more season.
Mm.
Maybe three seasons. But
talk about like a fucking disaster of just like how the money men got in there on that one.
Yeah.
Like the and like I'm not a huge firefly. Wait, no, they call them. I'm not a huge brown coat.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, kind of get into that.
I mean, I like the show.
Because I like the show. I'm like, why the fuck is there not more of this? Why does it seem so weird?
And then you find out, oh, it's like ratings and ad revenue.
Yeah. But like they also...
Data that failed to capture how much people really liked it and how...
Yeah. And it was just a weird bit of television of like the weekly stuff and like, you know, pilots and all that stuff. Because... the first episode that aired, apparently, this is just what I read, so I could be wrong.
I don't remember when it was airing. I was alive and watching TV.
The train heist.
The train one was
the first fucking one.
Why would you air that one first? That's so dumb.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, they are, to a degree, the episodes are disconnected. You could watch a lot of them in any order, but the pilot episode does what a pilot is supposed to do. And introduces you to all the characters, tells you the rules of the universe, and, you know, sets up the stakes.
Yeah.
That's wild if that's what actually happened.
There's some things... Well, there's some things to avoid is the... And, you know, the jarring nature of a TV show that gets canceled before it's ready to end, and then they have to scramble, and, like, it just is always bad.
I know even less about this one, but I like talking a lot about it. Is Lost being, you know, a show that ran for probably too long and then disappointed its viewer base with the ending it chose to go with. And so my perception of that, and from what little I actually have, you know, read conclusively about it, this isn't the sort of thing that, like, showrunners and writers would admit to you. But what it seems to me is they didn't know how long it was going to go, and they weren't sure what the answer was when they started.
Yeah.
So they keep going, and as they keep getting renewed and they keep getting more money, they keep opening up new storylines, dropping more threads, to the point where, you know, they're not sure what it was supposed to be in the first place, and so they just, like, pick one of the many theories and are like, this one. Well, that kind of sucks. It might be hard to avoid something like that, though, just since we're free-form talking, because that is kind of the way a lot of long-form RPG campaigns are structured.
I think
you do kind of start without knowing what it's going to turn into.
And it might sound like we are flipping on our previous conversation about, like, the various outcomes, how it's okay not to know where things are going because, like, you can pull things. I think that still holds true. Lost is an example of it being done badly, but I think a lot of factors contributed to Lost that tabletop games don't have that pressure. Like, you know, money, actors, you know, sets,
all
this shit.
You have a small group of people you need to satisfy. You don't need to satisfy an audience. You need to just satisfy your table.
Right. You don't have to come up with the money to pay new actors or, you know, continue contracts of old actors or anything like that. Not knowing where it's going in a role-playing game is very, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely okay.
There's less to keep track of.
You can still stick the landing.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, a good ending to Lost could have happened, even with it running for as long as it did, when maybe they had no idea how long it was going to run in the first place. Probably should have been just 3 seasons. I'm a strong advocate of, like, if you can't wrap up a drama in 3 seasons, you're doing too much. But that's also not how television works.
Yeah. So I guess that was kind of an anti-inspiration, a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Cautionary tales little segment. Any other good endings that we want to talk about? Avatar, right? It's been a while since we talked about Avatar.
We haven't brought up Last Airbender in a while.
The rule still stands that if you're looking for how to do it, go to Avatar.
Yeah.
Because they did it and they did it well. So Avatar's ending, how would you classify that? I would classify that or the good or bad.
Yeah, I would say
very binary.
Yeah, very binary. It's like it is as binary as whether or not the ring gets destroyed. and, you know, the whole world falls to darkness, or the world is saved.
Yeah.
They saved the world. But they saved the world in a kick-ass way where everyone got to do everything. Everyone got to use...
Had a part.
All their abilities, all their spell slots in the context of a role-playing game.
Okay. Let's put... We do have that later, but let's put it on the board now, and we'll come back to it later. Use your... The Game Master. Put it on the board for the Game Master. Create the climax where everybody gets to do their things.
Yeah. Opportunity to do everything. And notice that, to some degree, that, like, this is the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be holding it back. Use your magic items. Use your spell slots. Push. If there's some sort of push mechanic, you know, risk it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time to do it. Because when you do that, and when you succeed, feels fucking great. So the final battle, several confrontations happening at once at the end of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the big main one, Aang and the Fire Lord, but then also the airships and what's going on at Ba Sing Se.
Is this a good time to split the party on like the final confrontation? I think it could be. It's not a necessity. You don't have to have a final confrontation with split party.
I would say if you're doing this, right, you're ending your big campaign, there's probably not a better time to split the party, especially if you're looking at, you know, like a final confrontation, success or failure.
Right.
Because, yeah, stuff gets more dangerous when the party splits up. If you follow, you know, strict challenge rating but
it's the final confrontation. Shit's going to be dangerous.
So the risk of like failing to complete a dungeon or something and slowing down your progress because you split the party, that risk is significantly less in the context of a final confrontation.
Well, I'd say
it's Star not the Wars. Risk,
but the consequences are less.
The consequences, the risk is fucking high. Mm-hmm. It's fate of the world shit. But the consequences...
But not surviving is okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That could be part of the ending. So Return of the Jedi. Luke and Vader and the Emperor on the Death Star. Confrontation there. Space battle going on outside. Also, guerrilla war on the moon. Endor.
Yeah.
And all of those things play into each other. Mm-hmm. Direct confrontation with the Emperor. But if you kill the Emperor, the Death Star is still operational. The fleet is still active. Can't destroy the Death Star from space unless the guys on the ground switch off the shield.
Mm-hmm.
So all three fights have a lot of...
Stakes.
A lot of really high stakes and a lot of bearing on one another. And so splitting the party... in that situation has a ton of narrative and dramatic potential.
And, because one of the big things about splitting the party, besides the whole, you know, challenge rating dog shit,
we're not a fan of that.
Is the boredom, but the potential for boredom in the mundane, right? You know, if you're focusing on one player just going through a market.
Yeah.
Then, like, nobody really gives a shit. Like, the other players are like, okay, yeah, great, buy your stuff. But if it's, like, the fate of the world final conflict, I fucking bet, because I would definitely be there. But, like, I would be, like, rooting for my, you know, teammate who, like, I cannot interfere with this one.
Yeah.
But, like...
Like, I'm on the planet.
Yeah.
You're up in space.
But, like, oh, get him! Fuck. Get him! Get him!
Yeah.
I would be fucking tuned in.
Now I'm not upset with the final Halo run that ended our
Castraticon.
The Castraticon campaign that we just did. But now that we're talking about it, I'm wishing I'd pulled off something like that. Where like I wouldn't have split the party that much, but like, you know, one party, high stakes confrontation with a baddie.
Mass Effect 3 also does that.
Yeah.
Right? Where you have to choose, like, you know, your teammates to go different ways,
and
right?
Who's going to go to which thing? Right.
Which is such a powerful moment of, like, all right, we have three things we need to do. Team one, you know, where are you guys? Who are you guys? Where are you going? Mm. Right? And, like, having that moment of decision-making where, like, this could be the last time we're all together, guys.
Yeah. And Yeah, you're going to fight a big bad. Okay. Some people may... maybe some people confront him directly, but maybe a couple members of the party have to go, you know, turn off his shield or like break a curse or something. And if they do, it has tremendous bearing on what's going on the other. And then you can like juggle both of them at the same table, dramatically switching between them over the course of like one or two sessions. Ooh, how exciting would that be? If you could pull that off, that'd be cool.
It's getting my crest up.
All right. Okay. We've kind of strayed into it. Should we get into this last section?
Yeah. All right. So let's... I thought... we went past the segue because we were talking about... Are you sure you want to proceed? All right. Oh, so, taking a breath.
Yeah.
Actually ending the session, in our experience, right?
Yeah.
Don't drag it out. We're putting that on the board.
Yeah, don't drag it out.
Don't drag it out.
You're gonna be like, this is the final arc, but we've been playing the final arc for 6 months.
Right.
When do we actually like get to the final confrontation? You don't want to do something like that.
Right. So we mentioned earlier that like you gotta leave time for it. This is how you leave time for it. Is you are upfront. You communicate with your players that like, we're coming up on the end, guys.
Yeah. And, like, you should straight up just tell them. Mm-hmm. Like, you finish one session, and it's all, you know, like, prep and set up, whatever. Like, hey, next session, this is it.
It's going down.
And that's a great way to end that penultimate session, mm-hmm. is with, like, okay, this is a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Next time, it's all or nothing.
I think that goes on the board, too. Have a penultimate session. Because, you know, the, like... The gravitas, would it be gravitas? Of, you know, this could be the last time that we're all together, alive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, tomorrow, we're gonna go in this one way or.
We're going in the scary castle.
Right? But we get one more night together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's a fucking powerful thing, too.
And when you start the second to last session, you don't necessarily know it's the second to last session, but when you end it, you know that the next one is the last one. That is something you should do. You should know that as a game master, and you should make sure that your players know it so that, you know, the buy-in is
there
at max, and, you know, you maybe push the scheduling a week so that you know everyone can make it.
Mm-hmm. And, like, so, like, video, this, I mean, we just came off of, they should come out, you know, one after the other, but we did just record the video game lesson episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lesson that tabletop RPGs can take from video games.
Mm.
Is have that, like, that disclaimer of, like, you're about to enter the end game. Like, are you sure you want to proceed?
Right.
Doing this will lock you out of everything
you'll
else.
You'll be doing that, you know, you'll be going through Mass Effect, you'll be playing a Fallout, whatever, and, like, you click the button to open a door, and it'll be like, hang on. If you continue, you're in the end game. If there's anything else you want to do, time to go do it. And sometimes it's not that video gamey. Sometimes a character will, you know, say like, okay, go take care of whatever you need to take care of. Come back and talk to me when you're ready for the final mission, whatever. Yeah. However you want to do it, that moment of like...
The penultimate
This
moment.
Is it. Finish doing your stuff because the next time we go, we're going to the final thing.
Yeah. And that's going to help you not drag it out, right?
Yeah.
Because it sets expectations that, like, this is it. So there's not that, like, oh, well, we didn't, like, I still have unfinished business left. Well, you should have taken care of that before, bud. I told you. I said this was going to be it.
Yeah.
So, like, you have the whole time. You don't want to waste any time. You don't want to waste any time. Don't drag it out. Next, so we've had a lot of success with the wrap-up and epilogues. We've talked a lot about this on the episode, but it's a perfect way to show impacts.
Yeah,
your player character's choices. It's part of what makes an indie ending satisfying is seeing the results. Right.
Yeah. The Like, you want to And you want players to have some input into this. Final confrontation over. Okay. Mm. Let's use the Halo example. I like that. You win the war, kill the last bad guy, blow up the last thing, you escape on your spaceship, you won, but now you're just adrift. Mm. All right. And there's not a ton of options of what you're going to do. But just real quick, what does everyone do? And it probably ends with everyone, getting in a cryopod. But, a last moment of roleplay, some sort of, self-defined epilogue.
Last zinger. Yeah.
What's the last thing you say?
Wake me when you need me.
One last thing, and then, okay, now we drop the curtain. That's really cool. That avoids that jarringness of, oh, it's no longer gameplay. Let me just narrate you the ending. Give them a last little thing of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, just, are you going to come with me or are you going to stay here?
Right. The glimpse through the door.
Yeah, the glimpse through the door. Give them that, provide that to your players as a game master. And then you're still going to close those doors and it's going to be over. But, little glimpse.
Little peek.
Right.
The Witcher 3 also does this really well.
Yeah, that was a pretty good ending.
Where, yes, the final confrontation is done. Now, we're going to do, I don't think they were animated. They were just freeze frames, right? Characters.
Well, there was sort of two things. There was the freeze frame, sketch drawings with narration. And then there was a final scene of you and Ciri in the tavern. Well, depending if Ciri survives, right.
If you got the good ending,
where you have a little conversation and you get a little glimpse, it's been a couple of months.
Right.
What are we up to right now? Okay, well, so and so's looking for a monster hunter. Okay, coin for my drink and head out the door.
Right. So that there's the Animal House wrap up coming into play.
Yeah.
Right. So final confrontation is done. Curtain comes down, and you get the freeze frame. So instead of the glimpse through the door, they could be worked in tandem. You could do both.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rule you say you can't do both. But I do feel like they're a little bit different styles. So there's the glimpse through the door, a lot of possibilities,
mm-hmm.
whereas the freeze frame is couple sentences of narration of we know.
Yeah. It's variations on essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But what you're giving your characters is a little bit of agency over what happens next, but then you are keeping it finite.
Yes.
You are putting it in and you're like, okay, what do you do? I go this way. All right, that's it.
Yeah. The important things, keep it finite and then show impacts,
yeah.
Whether it be glimpse through the door or freeze frame or whatever, but that's how you get a satisfying ending in my book.
Yeah,
that's what would satisfy me.
Okay, our last two.
So debrief.
Similar to a wrap up or an epilogue.
It does sound awful like a wrap up, but it's different.
Yeah. This is out of character. You, especially if you're in person. But you could do this virtually if you're all, on a Discord call or whatever. Once you drop that final curtain and you've given them, the glimpse through the door, or maybe it's just a hard cut, whatever, however you do the ending, you finish the ending by, now we're not characters anymore. Now we are friends playing a game, and let's have a quick little debrief about it. Or maybe it's a long debrief. Maybe that takes you into the rest of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost exclusively play stuff that we've designed ourselves and homebrew, worlds and settings. So we talk about that a lot. We talk about the design of systems. We solicit feedback on balancing and mechanics and stuff. And we also just out of character, we like to talk about the cool things that happened. Mm-hmm. Or, now that it's over, I can share a little bit of it could have gone this way. I had this planned. Things
but,
that you can share with your players.
And you guys totally fucked me on this one. Like I
thought
this you guys
didn't work at all.
You
this
I had
this
all
this
prepped,
way.
Right? And then
get into a debrief conversation, which is number one, fun to do. Mm-hmm. If you had a good time with something, it's fun to talk about why and, you know, discuss, but then also in that analyzation, you get better.
Yeah. And this is something that you don't, this is not only for endings, right? This can be done.
Yeah, you can debrief every single session.
At the end of every session. And, you know, I'm gonna tap the sign, the Remsel speak sign, because it's just something that we were really used to.
Sorry, BB.
But we found it really helpful of...
Well, it's stuck around. Yeah. And not everything from our primary school days has stuck with us into adulthood. But the value of debriefing experience afterwards... Usually, you know, you want to do it as quickly as possible after something. There's terrific learning value in that.
Yeah.
And, you get to...
Well, it's a time to process stuff, right?
You get to process the experience. You get to sharpen your skills and your thought process about it a lot better if you deliberately set aside the time to examine it critically after it's over,
which is why I think it is an important thing. It might, for some people, it might seem obvious. For some people, they're like, nah, I'd never do that shit.
Yeah, or but maybe you were just never trained to do it.
Putting it needs to be on the board, because especially for an ending, especially for a long campaign or an adventure, less important for a one shot, but it is to be satisfied walking away, right? It's more, it helps it to be satisfying if you can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? If you have that space and that time to discuss things, because like maybe there's something that like didn't go well.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something that got messed up or whatever. Talking about it then right there gets it out. Yeah. And then, so then like they're not, players or game masters aren't, you know, tossing and turning in their beds thinking about like, oh, that was so fucked up, man.
Or I'm not sure if that was the right way to have done something. Right. Well, you know, straight up talk about it. And it might not have been the right way to do something, but you'll have talked about it, so you can continue that into whatever comes next.
Because once it's out in the open, it's out there, and then like, you know, it's probably going to be, well, it's just, it's lessened, and then you start to forget about it, and you start to focus on like the good stuff, and then like, you know, a week later, you're like, man, that was fucking dope.
That was cool.
And like the bad stuff is all forgotten.
Yeah.
Right? Or hopefully.
Well, I mean, like you forget feeling bad about it, but you've learned the lesson from it, and then you're focusing on the cool stuff. Which is an okay segue into our last point here, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes an ending's greatest value is not in it being a big epic conclusion, in it being the ending necessarily of anything. Sometimes the ending's greatest value is in the opportunity to move on to something new next. Sometimes the most value from it is, what do we do now? What do we do next? And that can be really exciting, really fun, especially if you do the debrief thing we just talked about. If you're internalizing lessons and, you know, thinking about what worked and what didn't and
what would be better next time,
getting excited about what was cool, and then you drop the curtain, part of potentially the coolest part of it could be, you know, what do we do next,
right? Especially, not saying you have to do this, but in the same universe, right? So like you have like the various outcomes style of ending, the type of ending, right? The world has changed and you get to see how it's changed and you're like, okay, that was pretty dope, but I'm excited to play in the new changed world. That character's story is over. I'm free now. I don't have to be the sarcastic, you know, barbarian that punches things. Now I'm going to be a squishy bard who, you know, is having fun in life or something like that. I don't know.
It's right? Somewhere completely different with a new threat or a new problem to deal with. And
it doesn't even have... I take that back. It doesn't even have to be the same universe. But, like, you know, in your mind canon, it can be like, these characters coexist in the same universe.
There's some continuity between them. Or you just, like, you learned a bunch of lessons. And now you play a completely different system in a completely different setting. But, you know.
And you learn something.
And you don't get to do that until you finish the first thing.
Right, until that is done and boxed and dusted and tagged and whatever.
So, yeah, sometimes the value is you get to do something else next. Even if maybe the ending doesn't satisfy in all the right ways, well, start a new one. And that's fucking cool, too.
Boom. Stuck that landing, baby.
Yeah. All right.
Recap?
Let's not get too...
sentimental?
Let's
not
just
drag it out.
Let's just hit the top bullets. We talked a lot here.
We did talk a lot. So, sticking the landing, landings being endings.
Yeah.
Endings are tough, right? They're important. We want certain things out of those. That's why they're tough.
Yeah.
We talked about types of endings, right? Good or bad endings, the binary, right? Various outcomes where it's a mixed bag, but it totally depends on the choices that were made. So, like, you get to see that impact. Then there's the non-ending where life goes on, but the next bit for a while is going to be boring. So that's how you know it's an ending. It's like, we don't get to play
this war
the Twilight years.
The war ended. We're fine, though. And, yeah, it's boring now.
Right? But it's satisfying because it ended. Right? We talked about inspiration, like, you know, RPG video games, you know, Fallout, Mass Effect, The Witcher. Talked about Adventure Time, which is one hell of a fucking ending.
Talked about Avatar. Talked about some bad shows.
We talked about some bad endings, and are those the symptoms of, like, the industry of TV or whatever, you know?
Cool shows that didn't get good endings, whatever.
But we know a couple things not to do. And then we just talked about our own experience, right? And, like, we told you our lessons that we have learned, right? Don't drag it out. Communicate with your players that this is the end, so prepare for the end. That way you're not stuck in, like, oh, well, like, it didn't quite end, so, like, we'll pick this up next time. Oh, I can't make it. And then, you know, 3 months later, you're still not done.
Yeah.
Right? Wrap-ups, epilogues, great way to show that impact, you know, throw a little more satisfaction on the pile. And then debrief afterwards, which is out of character, talking about just how it went, what went well, what went bad, what could have been better, what could have been different. You get a little, you know, peek behind the curtains and, like, well, I was thinking this, and, like, oh, well, that's why I did that, is because of this, and, like, oh, I didn't even think of that, right? You get to air out a lot of stuff and, like, really cements.
You get a ton of learning value.
Learning value.
And you also, like, you really delineate an ending out of that.
Yeah.
Like, we are talking about the end of something now, out of character.
Yeah.
That's a great way to know it's the end of something.
Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you know, sometimes ending's greatest value is not in, like, the epic conclusion of the story, but just the fact that it's ended and makes an opportunity for something new to happen.
Yeah.
Right? That release of, now I don't have to game master, you know, now I don't have to come up with anymore for that story, or now I don't have to play that character anymore. I can be somebody new. I can do something different.
Yeah.
It can be very freeing.
So, that should be enough for your brains to chew on for 2 weeks until we come back with another one.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you enjoyed this and you like this sort of nerd shit, head on over to 2hgm.com, where the first thing you'll see is an ad for Afterlife, our post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing game and setting on DriveThruRPG. Check it out.
That we made up all by ourselves.
Completely original, really fun. There's also some other stuff to download, various role-playing sort of products, not really products,
helpers or worksheets or whatever.
Neat stuff to download. And a link to our Patreon. We do stuff on Discord. We've done some live events. And we'd like to do more. And the more people who join, the more of that we're able to do.
The more fun they are.
We did this episode based on a conversation with one of our patrons.
In the Discord.
He was like, hey, what about this thing? And we talked a little bit about it. And we made a whole episode. Like we said, we'll do it. If you bring it to us, we'll probably do it. Yeah, about it. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pond Hill is Finest as the intro and outro to our show. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.